still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted by all the nations. I will be exalted throughout the earth. These are our battle cry. Not a cry to war, not a cry to fight, but a cry to stand. As Christians, we daily live in a battleground. We daily live in a war between the world and heaven. Every day, we compete with the world for our values. We compete with the world for our time. We compete with the world for our energy, our money. We compete with the world for our dreams, for our worth, for our desires. We compete with the world for our trust and our expectations, and we even compete for our sense of what is right and what is wrong. We ourselves compete, and we as parents, we compete for our children. We fight for them, to protect them, to empower them through the Scriptures and God's Holy Spirit to go out into the world and be a light. We must never forget that the world hates the light. It always has. It has from the beginning. The world was a formless void. And darkness lay over the whole land until God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And today we are bearers of that light into the world. Heralds proclaiming God's message, His truth for the ages. That there is but one God. One mediator between God and man. The person of Jesus Christ. But if we're going to compete with that, if we're going to compete with the flashiness of the world, the shouts from every screen you turn on, from every video, every radio, every TV program that declare that this is the way, this is what's good and right and true. If you only had this, you would be happy and life would be worth it and everything will be good as long as you do this. This is the truth. This is the way. Walk in this. We're going to compete with every picture in a magazine that declares that this is what true beauty looks like. To be beautiful, you only need to do these things. You only need to act this way or look this way. We're going to compete with that giant megaphone that is the internet and the multimedia of our day. Every day describing a new low in society, and then declaring that it's okay, that it's good. If we're going to compete with that, we're going to need some powerful tools. We're going to need a strong weapon, a weapon that can cut through all of the world's nonsense, a weapon that can cut to the heart and separate truth from lies. We're going to need the sword of truth, the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 declares, "The Word of God is spirit and truth, and it separates bone, even as bone from marrow." It's our weapon of war, the truth of the Word of God. If we're going to compete, we're going to need to know those words. So this week, we're going to start a new series of messages called Words to Live By. Passages from Scriptures that we can actually apply to our life, that we can use to compete, not just to better ourselves, and not even, and I don't mean this in a negative way, not even simply to deepen our relationship with God, but to be able to take that out into the world and compete with all of the challenges that we face daily as believers, competing with what the world says is truth. So this week, we're going to be looking at the scripture that we just heard. Be still and know that I am God. It is, to me, an appropriate place to start. I don't know about you, when I watched that, it seems like a mirror of my life. All of the chaos, no matter what you turn on, no matter what you hear, the busyness, the distraction, it just seems like my life. And to hear that juxtaposed with God and the stillness and the peace, it touches me. And it speaks truth into my life to know the difference between the anxiety of the world and the peace of God. So if you have your Bibles with me today, if you want to turn, this is going to be a bit of a tricky one to read along with. It's Psalm 46. If you have an app, I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. This is probably the old NIV, so it may be a little bit different. But Psalm 46, it's a short psalm. I want to read this whole thing. It starts off, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There's a stream, a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth, breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Life goes through seasons. Goes through cycles. Through changes. Some of these seasons, we see growth and transformation. In other seasons, we may see subtle or gradual shifting of things over time. Still others, we might notice that they actually exhibit negative growth, static growth. And then sometimes we find ourselves trapped in the in-between, in the middle, in the chaos of the dynamics of change. Right now we're in a season, we look all around us, we're in a season like that, where we see all this dynamic transformation on the leaves, the trees, the weather. You can see it all around as you drive. We see all this transformation, and yet growth in this time is rather stagnant. It's rather static. The trees enter a period now of dormancy. But it's not because of problems. It's not because of a lack of nutrients or growth or anything else. It's in preparation for the season of growth that's getting ready to come. See, in the middle of this chaotic, dynamic change, internally the trees, the grass, the flowers have built into them this natural resource that focuses the resources inward, that pulls everything in, so that they can be prepared when they need to grow out. Like a human body, we are built with this same kind of function. If you've ever seen or known anything about hypothermia, as your body begins to get cold on the outside, as it begins to pull, your body then pools its resources, retracting from the extremities and pulling into the core of your system, to protect the vital organs, to protect the vital things in your life. And all of that's routed so that it will remain healthy, though some things may fail, Some things may be damaged. The internal will be protected. It's in these times of the dynamics of change. It's in these times of chaos that we need to draw in rather than press out. And it's in those times of drawing in that you find this stillness, that you find the peace. This stillness is crucial. Because if it doesn't happen, there won't be any energy left for growth. There'll be no energy left when the time comes, the seasons change and warm. Everything will have been exerted, and there'll be nothing left. It's a type of protection and a type of preparation. Life functions in cycles. Each one is different. Each season is unique. And each season is completely necessary. Yet through it all, God is faithful. Through every season's change, He remains the same. 1 Peter, is Peter writing about this? He writes in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 24, and quoting Isaiah, "All men are like grass. Their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." He goes on to say how we grow in Christ, ridding ourselves of all kind of malice and deceit and slander and envy. And he says, "Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." As I was preparing this, I really felt like that was a word for somebody today. I felt like that, those last three, four words, that the Lord is good. Through every season, through every time of our life, through seasons of growth, through seasons of static growth, and through seasons of change, God is good. And through every season, God is faithful. If that's you, that you need to hear those words today, that God is good in every season, then just let that sink into your heart. Let that sink into your life. The Lord is good. All the time. The Lord is faithful always. Our lives are crazy. Your life, my life. Is there anybody here whose life is not crazy? I mean, maybe not all the time, I get that, but yeah. If that's you, let me know. I want to come over to your house, I want to visit, I want to find out the secret to not crazy life. Life is crazy, it just is, it's hectic. Every day we're just go, go, go. Bombarded with scheduling and events and school and work and you know, even in the times where we don't have anything to do, a lot of times we spend that time preparing for the things that we know we need to do. So even in our free time, we're worrying about scheduling and the busyness that's to come. All of these things compete with this precious commodity of our time. And the world loves chaos. It loves busyness, loves distraction. It has from the beginning. As I said earlier, if you look, you can turn with me if you want, but it's a familiar verse. Genesis 1, verse 2. It says, "Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. That word that's used for formless and empty, in the original Hebrew, in the text, that word means chaos. It means that the word, and it was a word specifically used because the culture at the time, when they were out preaching and speaking, this culture referenced, and I'm going to forget the exact telemat, I think, is one of a Greek god that was the god of chaos. And this word references that. The word in the original references that word to reference and say, in the beginning, the world was chaos. It was formless. It was void. And it was empty. And I love that it doesn't say, as a separate statement, God said, let there be light. It says, and God said. It was this. And God spoke over it and said, let there be light. And He began to separate. Let the waters become separated, and they began to form. Let the earth be made. Let there be clear land. Let there be waters. Let there be form from chaos. You see, God is the one who brings order to chaos. God is the one who knows how to organize the chaos into some functional way, into a way that proclaims His glory. The earth is made for the glory of God. You are made for the glory of God. And He takes the chaos, the swirling of our lives, of your life, of all of our lives in community together, and He takes this chaos and He begins to form, and He begins to surround, and He begins to structure, to bring order out of chaos. The enemy, make no mistake, loves chaos. Loves busyness. Loves distraction. He wants us to get caught up in it. Wants us to be immersed, swimming in this. And if you let yourself, there is no end to what you can find to immerse yourself in that will bring chaos. There is no end to what you can find that will bring distraction away from what's really important. That is the design of the enemy, and it is God's design to stand immediately against that and to bring order in the middle of the chaos. Don't be fooled. All of that stuff that you see in the video, all of the things you see when you turn on the TV or hear the radio at home, it's all shifting sand. Christ is our solid rock. He's our ever-present hope in times of trouble. He is our refuge and our strength. He is our rock. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We will not fear though the earth give way. Though the mountains may fall into the heart of the sea and the waters roar and they foam and the mountains quake with their surging, we will not fear. Nations may be in uproar. Kingdoms may fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still. Know that I am God. I love looking at just a verse and seeing what God says in that verse. But in order to do that, there's a really important thing you have to look at. And that's context. If you just look at the verse, you sometimes miss what's trying to be communicated. You get part, but not all, or you misconstrue what's trying to be said. You can see here in the psalm, thousands of years ago, very little has changed from the way we live today. Sure, it's painted in a different way, has a different media that it gets to us. Life is no different. If you look at those first few verses, it's in the context of chaos. It's in the context of mountains falling into the sea, waters roar and foam, mountains quake, the earth gives way, kingdoms fall, nations are in uproar, and yet the psalm begins with God as our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. The concept of stillness through this is not just be still Don't move. Don't try to change. Just be still. The context is in through this. This is how we're to exist. Through all of this turmoil, all of the chaos, to be still. And know that He is God. I want to take a look at that phrase, be still and know. The context is clearly calamity, disaster, turmoil. The command is stillness. There's only one command in that entire passage. The rest of it is good verbiage, it's good wording. You know, God is our reference and our strength. These are our knowledge things, things to remember. The Lord Almighty is with us, passive, right? The God of Jacob is our fortress. These are things to stand on. These are the building blocks of our solid rock, but they're passive statements. The active statement, one phrase in here, be still and know that I am God. Those are commands. Let's take a look at that for a second. A lot of translations, if you have the NASB, the ESV, some different translations in the Bible, will translate that part of it, verse 10 in Psalm 46, will translate it to cease striving. Rather than be still, cease striving. But I love the actual meaning of those words. And a lot of times I know we have to frame them in a way that makes a little bit more sense when we translate. But the literal meaning of the word there for still or striving, well, sorry, not for still, for ceasing, not for striving, for ceasing or being still, is a word that means two things. Sink and relax. Sink and relax. Now, I thought those were really interesting words. Everybody just, for a second, can you do this with me? Can I ask you to do something with me? Take a big breath in and hold it. Okay, ready? Big breath in. Hold it there. As you're holding it, you feel the tension? All of that holding up? Now relax and let it out. You feel everything release? Try it again. Breathe it in and hold it. That tension, that's the chaos. That's the world. That's the dynamic, the change, the craziness of our lives. Now blow it out and release. This is the peace, the relaxing of God. This word literally means to relax and to sink. As you breathe out, did you notice how your body tends to sink back into your chair? Maybe from your perspective, it's hard to see. From up here, I see as everybody breathes in, everybody sits up a lot straighter. Everybody holds everything up, and we tend to carry ourselves like that. Everything's good. People say, how is it going? It's going good. We're good. Everything's okay, and you can sort of feel it. And you just say, whoo, blow it out. Sink. And I can watch you. I know, again, it's hard from a perspective, but as you blow out, whole posture tends to sort of just melt into the chair. And we tend to sink back in. We don't even realize that sometimes. I teach these, as you know, I teach piano lessons quite often, and one of the things that I have to work with my students on a lot is relaxing their posture as they sit. They sit a lot of times, and I do this too. I'm guilty of this as well. Sit and hold when I play, and my shoulders will hunch. They hunch. And they hunch till they're really close to my ears. I don't even realize I'm doing it. And my teacher in college, he would come behind me and he would tap me on the shoulders. And I would know, oh, I dropped my shoulders. And I wouldn't realize how much they had risen, how tense I really was getting. And he would just tap me on the shoulder. Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Relax. Stay relaxed. We don't notice sometimes how much we tend to hold, how much we tend to amp up and get those shoulders up by our ears, and then all of a sudden somebody taps us on the shoulder and says, and you just kind of relax. Go, oh, I didn't realize I was holding all of that. Be still. Know that I'm God. Cease striving. But where? Where does that stillness, where does it come from? If it is from God, then we not only have peace, we shall remain at peace. Because remember, God does not change. God is the same yesterday, He's the same tomorrow, and He's the same today. If we're looking to Him, then our peace remains the same as well. For God is peace. And we'll be still. And we'll be at rest. If we're looking to the world, if we're looking to results, expectations, whatever it is that we use to measure success, we'll be constantly shifting. Because what we're relying on is really just shifting sand. We will never find peace in the world. We'll not find it. Instead, we'll find chaos. We'll find striving. We'll find innumerable distractions. We'll find any number of things that say, do this and get security in your life. Do this and find happiness. Do this and find joy and find comfort. If you only do these things and have these things and get this stuff and hold on to these things and collect and do. And again and again and again our shoulders raise. God says no. All of these things want to pull us away from one thing. Our knowledge of who God is. All these things are antithetical. They take us away from God and the knowledge of who He is. That's why the command is to know that I am God and be still. I'd love to turn that around for a second. Not to be still and know, but to know and therefore be still. These other things, they want to pull us away from the knowledge of who God is. They want to pull us away from knowing who He is and that He's in control, from knowing that this is the God who spoke into the chaos, who spoke into the turmoil of a turbulent world and said, let there be light. And everything changed. And He does it every single day in our lives. He does it in our kids' lives. He does it in our family's life. He's doing it in your neighbor's life. He's doing it at the people at your workplace, at your school. Surrounding us are these moments that God speaks light. And sometimes He uses us and He calls us to go out and be bearers of that light to somebody else and to speak it and say, let there be light. And from that moment, everything changes. Because what had been chaos now becomes function. What had been turmoil now becomes order. Because we are made to function in alignment with God. We are made to function with Him and in conjunction with who He is and His character. And everything that takes us away from that knowledge is going to feel like chaos and turmoil. Everything that takes us away from that is going to hurt. It's going to be difficult. It's going to feel like striving. What is it that Jesus says? All you who are burdened, heavy laden, come to Me and what? You'll find rest. He doesn't say that there won't be difficult things. But He says, if you find it in Me, if you're resting in Me, My yoke will be easy. The burden that you feel like you're carrying, it'll be light. If you try to find it in the world, you try to tow your own load, constantly striving. All of these things compete with our knowledge of who God is. The knowledge that God is our refuge. Remember, I said these other things were knowledge statements, not commands. But the knowledge is that God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in times of trouble. He is with us, and He is our fortress, and He is for us. And in the face of some of the greatest catastrophes in our lives, He is there. And it's in that stillness, in Him, that our faith is proved. The fact that we stay still, that we know how to be still. In the middle, the chaos and the dynamics of change, nature has built into it a system. The trees, the grass, the flowers, all around us start to pool in their resources. Start to pull in the vast amount of resources that they have. And rather than put those forward into more striving, focus them inward. They draw in and retreat to a place of rest, a place of dormancy, a place of preparation, a place of protection. And we need this. We need to know this truth every day to find that place of stillness, every day to find our place of rest, every day to find, like it says in verse 4, the river whose streams make glad the city of God. She will not fail. God will help her at the break of day. We need to find this place of stillness where things are static yet intense. Drawing inward rather than pressing outward, what happens is that these resources, all of these things that are at our disposal, all of the promises that God gives to us, all of the strength that He puts into us, all of the authority, all of the knowledge of Himself, when we pull them in, they're concentrated. And they're intensified. And it's from this place that we're able to enter into the world of chaos. We're not meant to exist outside of the world of chaos. We're not meant to be secluded, separated from that. We're called to be in the world. We're going to find chaos. You might find it when you step outside the door. We're going to find it all the time. But it's from this place that we step out into it, into the place of the unknown, into the place of the schedules where things are formless and void. See, the idea is that it's not when things go crazy that we draw in. It's the opposite. It's from the place of stillness that we go out. The idea is that we draw in so that we can go out, so that we can meet the day. And it needs to be done daily. We need to find that time alone with God before the chaos of the day even begins. Find it in the middle of your day, when things are really amping up and starting to become more and more intense. Find it in the evening when you're at your place of rest, and thank God for it. This is the model we see through Jesus, drawing in, finding a place of solitude and peace where you can be alone with His Heavenly Father. He made it a point to do this. And Scripture records it many, many times. Because He had a task to do And that task put him right in the middle of chaos. It put him right in the middle, in the face of turmoil every day. And if he wasn't drawn in, if he wasn't connected with God, there was no way. It would have been too much. But he instead models this idea of going in and dialing it in to God. I want to show you one example of this. If you want, you can turn with me to this. This is in Mark. It's in chapter 4. It's a familiar story, but it's not so much the story that I want to focus on. It's the context and what happens from that. If we start in verse 35, we hear Jesus here. He's been preaching and teaching. There are obviously a lot of crowds around him. And it starts in verse 35 and says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go to the other side of the lake.'" And then this is the word I want to focus on, leaving the crowd behind. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were other boats with him. And then a furious squall comes up. The waves break over the boat so that it's nearly swamped. And here is Jesus in the stern of the boat doing what? Worried? Frantic? Full of anxiety? Ears, shoulders up by his ears, all worried and anxious about what's going to happen? No, he's sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples have to wake him up. They say, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" He says, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" He gets up. And he rebukes the wind and the waves and he says, "Be quiet. Be still." And we see in that moment the Word of God that formed the earth, that pulled out of the chaos and the turmoil and the surging and formed it and said, "Be still." We see it again. And he speaks it, and the wind dies down, and it was completely calm. Jesus steps away from the crowds, pulls away from what is probably good things that he's doing, what is certainly, through these parables, good things that he's doing. But it's still busyness in a lot of times, and it keeps us going, 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 and he pulls away to have some time alone. And he finds some rest. And as he's resting, the enemy starts to pull in these storms, and they start to attack, and they start to try to get into the place of rest. And here's Jesus, the picture of stillness, and here's the disciples, pictures of chaos, being completely overwhelmed by what's happening around them. But Jesus sleeps. Jesus is at peace. We're coming into a season where we get to sing one of my favorite Christmas songs, "Silent Night." I like the original German version of it better. My German's not great, but I know a couple of words. And I know that the title isn't "Silent Night" in German. Does anybody know? "Stille Nacht." It's "still night." "Calm night." And it closes with these beautiful words, "sleep." The word in German is "rest." In heavenly calm. In heavenly peace, we translate it in English because it rhymes. But it's heavenly calm. Still night. Sleep. Rest. In heavenly calm. Heavenly peace. The peace of heaven, God's shalom, the Lord's rest. He says, "Be still in the knowledge of me. Be still in knowing who I am and what I can do." we see Jesus in full knowledge of who the Father is and who He is, sleeping in the peace of heaven, resting in the peace of His presence, sleeping through the middle of the storm. It's Jesus' example to us. And it's something that we can model in our own lives. It's something that we must learn to model in our lives. Because life is chaotic. Life is a battleground every day. And we have to compete. And we compete through knowledge of the Word of God. And the command of God is to be still and know. Know that I'm God and be still. So as we close, I want to just pray this over you. If you'd bow your heads with me. It is my prayer that you would sleep in the peace of heaven. That you would let the peace of His presence wash over you. God, would you surround them with your calm in the midst of the storm? I pray that that breath that they've been holding in would just be blown out and stillness would reign. Lord, help all of those listening and me as well to be still and know you. You, Lord, are amazing. You are great and mighty, faithful, abounding in love, whose mercies are new every morning and grace is everlasting. You, God, who all heaven worships, may we turn to you, eyes fixed on you, and know that you are our Savior. You are our peace. You are our calm. And you're our rest. So may the peace of God rest in your hearts today. May your lives be filled with the glory of His presence. May His face shine down upon you and warm you. In Jesus' name, God bless you.